Comm Committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. To all members of the Transcom Committee, welcome. I'm Commissioner Jim Harvey, filling in for Mayor Mark Shepherd, who is excused today. It's an honor to be with you, and thanks for choosing to be here. We're also always glad to have the Executive Director, Andrew Gruber, joining us today, and it's great to have him here. By item of action, I think what we'll do is turn the time over to Ms. Pearson. Andrea, if you'll do a roll call, and then we'll, after that, we'll move to item one on our agenda, which would be the approval of minutes. So Ms. Pearson, go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner. Today in attendance, we have Jim Harvey, Andrea Pearson, Robert Hale, Wayne Bennion, Michael Gailey, Andrew Gruber, Megan Townsend, Ben Hewitt, Beth Holbrook, Miranda Jones-Cox, Tom Tripp, Christy Dahlberg, Ben Wethrich, Ann Granato, Blair Camp, Trey Stokes, Marsha White, Christopher Chestnut, Ivan Marrero, Kevin Jepson, Norm Searle, Jennifer Elskin, Kevin Cromar, Matthew Shipp, Rosie Hernandez, Brad Palmer, Kelly Lund, Julie Fulmer, Clint Smith, Rob Jolly.
Very good. Thank you, Andrea. Great. By item of action, then, there are two minutes to approve today. One are the minutes that were taken from June the 17th, and the other one is from July 8th. Any comments pertaining to those minutes? Also, for those of you who are members of the Transcom, I'm encouraging you today to speak up and to have some discussion, and it would be very valuable. So with that, then, hearing no changes to the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Second, Searle.
Great. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, if you'll please have a reaction or a thumb up or however you want to give an eye.
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect.
To be clear, that's for both sets of minutes.
There's a lot of Fonzie animes going on. That's really great. Appreciate that. Are there any that are opposed at all? Terrific. We'll move now on to the chair report. Miranda Jones-Cox will give us a brief update on the federal transportation reauthorization legislation. This is a bipartisan bill that's moving to the House. And so Ms. Cox, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Chair, appreciate it. So just wanted to give an update of what's been happening federally with the reauthorization of the surface transportation programs. And as I've kind of reported before, at one point we had a House bill and we had a Senate bill, and then we had an infrastructure bill, and now some of those are converging a little bit. So just last week, the Senate passed what is now known as the Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act. This was formerly known as the bipartisan deal or the bipartisan framework. And this bill passed out of the Senate. It has it's $1.2 trillion in total spending, $550 billion of which is in new spending. And the bill includes the five-year surface transportation reauthorization from the Senate. So, you know, in short, this bill would put funding towards transportation, water, energy, broadband, et cetera. So now that it's passed the Senate, it has moved over to the House, where it's a little unclear right now exactly what will happen over there with it. So Speaker Pelosi noted that the House wouldn't pass the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act without also passing the budget reconciliation bill at the same time. So that bill is roughly $3 trillion and encompasses what was the social infrastructure spending package that was proposed by the president, his American Families Plan. And so we're kind of just waiting to see if if that will be the case, I think Speaker Pelosi is getting a lot of pushback from some moderate Democrats in her party. You know, so they'll be going back into session next week, start to take action from there with the reconciliation bill. It will go to congressional committees to ultimately determine what is in that reconciliation package and how much, and we'll kind of be writing that. And ultimately we'll kind of wait and see what happens there. And if the infrastructure bill passes on its own, aside from the reconciliation bill, or if the two will pass in tandem. But I did want to just kind of touch a little bit on what the infrastructure bill could potentially mean for Utah. And there's a few key points that I kind of want to make on that. So the first key point is that the infrastructure bill isn't like a lot of the other federal funding that we have seen recently come from the federal government, whether that was like CARES money or ARPA money, where it's a lot of discretionary funding coming to states, coming to local communities to determine how to spend that. Instead, what the funding will likely be is it will come to states through existing formula programs, you know, some of which we have here at WFRC, as well as just as grant programs, some existing grant programs, some new. But again, Utah would have to be applying for that funding through the federal government. So some kind of numbers have been thrown around there, like how much of that, you know, $1.2 trillion would be coming to Utah. And we've kind of seen estimates of, you know, $3 to $3.5 billion. But of that money that's planning to come to Utah, a majority of that is likely going to come through existing baseline funding that Utah has already been planning for. So it's not necessarily going to be new funding. On top of that, you know, over the 5 years that we would see that $3 to $3.5 billion, we're going to see inflation, and some of that increase would cover what that inflation would be. So we're still not entirely sure what it really means for us and our programs, but what we can say is it does continue existing transportation funding programs that we have currently. And on top of that, Utah would be able to apply for discretionary grant programs. So I'm happy to answer any questions about that. One other thing I wanted to just raise with this group is that next week at our council meeting, our Wasatch Front council meeting, Senator Romney will be joining us to discuss the infrastructure deal and kind of give us kind of some background, as he was one of the key senators involved in those bipartisan negotiations and getting the bill passed. So should be interesting to listen into. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn the time back over to you, and yeah, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Miranda. Are there any questions for Miranda? Hearing none. I'm sorry to hear that, but that's a great report, Miranda. And thank you for the work and the time you've put into that. We appreciate that. That very well covered.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner and Miranda, I might just suggest, Miranda, you did a really nice write-up that summarizes a lot of this. And I think it might be helpful if you just drop that into the chat if people want to dig into this a little more. And anybody should feel free to follow up with Miranda or any of us or our friends at UDOT or UTA, or our friends on the line from Federal Highway Administration, if they have any other questions about the federal legislation.
Terrific. Thank you, Andrew. Item 3 on our agenda, and we'll move on to that now, is the public comment. If there are members of the public that care to address the committee, we've asked that you state your name, the city or organization that you represent, and also the item on the agenda that you're pertaining to your comments. We'd like those comments only to be pertaining to items on the agenda and limit those comments to 3 minutes. Are there any of the public that would like to comment? Seeing none and hearing none, we'll move on to item.
Mr. Chair, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I don't so much have a public comment. I do just want to do an introduction for the group, if I may.
Yes.
Jennifer Elskin is our new Utah Federal Highway Administration representative. She's with us here in our meeting today. And Jennifer is not new to Utah. She actually used to work at UDOT. And then she's been on assignment with the Federal Highway Administration and some other states. And we're really happy to have her back here in Utah. We have great partnership with the Federal Highway Administration. Ivan Marrero, who's the Utah Division Administrator, is with us here as well today. And so we just wanted to acknowledge and welcome Jennifer.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Ms. Elskin, for joining us. And Ivan, welcome to you as well. Thank you, Andrew, for bringing that up. Appreciate it. For all of you on the committee, then we'll move on to our item number four, which is our Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, as Ben would say. Now, keep in mind, folks, that these will be recommendations that'll go to the WFRC board, so the whole board council. So, Ben, I'll ask that you take, you're going to present some things with the modifications to the 2021 to the 2026 TIP program. So we'll go to that first, and go ahead, Ben, please.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe as a little bit in the introduction part of things, just so we don't conflict or misunderstand anything that's going on, is today there are TIP board modifications or TIP actions. The first one that we do have, as indicated by the chair, is an action on the board modification to the 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Program. The second one will be an action to recommend the approval of the 2022-2027 Transportation Improvement Program and the corresponding air quality conformity. So just to distinguish, we're kind of in a transition opportunity here, and we'll begin here with the board modification. So in your meeting materials, you should have a copy of a resolution, and attached to the resolution, there will be three tables. Those three tables identify the projects that are being requested to amend into the existing 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Program. And we'll go through each of those projects in a fairly quick manner. Beginning with this first spreadsheet identifies three projects. The first project that we'll look at is a project in Salt Lake County. This is a Murray City project on Vine Street. This project goes from 1300 East to Van Winkle Expressway. When this project was originally approved by the Regional Council, there was $4.5 million in federal funds for a $5.6 million project. It was identified to reconstruct and widen portions of Vine Street from a two-lane to a three-lane collector. The project includes new curb and gutter, sidewalk, ADA improvements, drainage improvements, new pavement, and bike lanes. The city over the past year has made some great progress. They've completed the design work. They've acquired all 29 properties necessary for construction. They've relocated the overhead power lines and coordinated the remaining utility relocations. However, during the PS&E and constructability review, it was determined that the project was substantially over budget. The PS&E construction estimate put the project at about $6.2 million+, leaving a funding shortfall of $1 million+. There have been no major changes or overwhelming expenses encountered thus far in the project, just a culmination of several factors, including market changes, escalating material, labor, and construction costs. The city has about $285,000 in county transportation funding that can be applied to this project, as well as another $100,000 in matching city funds. The remaining $650,000 is being requested from the Surface Transportation Program. And the funding for this would be used from other project cost savings, as well as cash flow management within the STP program in the Salt Lake West Valley urban area. The next project we will look at is another project in Salt Lake County. This one's just down the street a little in Conwood Heights. This is on Bengal Boulevard and 2300 East. It's the construction of a roundabout. When the project was approved by the Regional Council, the 2300 East Bengal Boulevard intersection, it was to address two offset intersections right next to the high school, which created a significant delay due to the proximity, especially before and after school. The scope of the Bengal Boulevard and 2300 East roundabout project is to construct a new five-lane roundabout accessing Bengal Boulevard, 2300 East, 2325 East, and Brighton High School. This project was advertised this past June, and the bids came in 33% higher than the engineer's estimate on the project. And it was mostly based on three factors: mobilization, traffic control and MOT, and material escalation. The project cost has been updated and the project will be resubmitted for advertising later this fall, with the construction to occur next summer, or the summer of 2022. Cottonwood Heights is requesting an additional $862,000 plus to be added to the project, and Cottonwood Heights will provide the matching funds and all the other resources needed to complete the project, giving us a total project cost of about $3.7 million. And these funds will be available through other project cost savings in the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program in the Salt Lake West Valley urbanized area. The next project that we get an opportunity to look at is also in Salt Lake County. This is in Kearns and West Valley City. They actually share this facility. It's on 4700 South. This project goes from 4000 West to 5600 West. It's to reconstruct with some minor widening. This project was placed on the STIP, or the TIP, back in 2012. And it was estimated to have an estimated cost a little more than $8 million, or around $8 million. It was to reconstruct the existing roadway, widen a roadway between 4000 and 4800 West to provide two lanes in each direction with the center turn lane, add bike lanes in both directions of travel, add sidewalk in the areas that are missing, and replace and extend the Utah Salt Lake Canal structure. In 2019, shortly after the environmental document was completed and the early engineering estimates, it was identified that this project too was underprogrammed, and the project estimated costs were somewhere around $16 million. This project was brought back to the council, and the council recommended an additional $4.5 million for the project. Now, the Kearns Metro Township and West Valley City would like to get the project advertised so that the construction of the Utah and Salt Lake Canal Box Culvert can occur this winter when the water is shut off. Unfortunately, agreements with the Union Pacific have been delayed and will not be executed in time to meet the schedule to allow for winter construction. To keep the project moving forward, Kearns Metro Township and West Valley City would like to make the following three requests. One, reduce the western limits of the project from 5600 West to 5450 West. This is the section that includes the railroad. The railroad and the roadway improvements between 5600 West and 5400 West are a priority for both Kearns and West Valley City, and both agencies are committed to funding these improvements in a separate project using local government funds as soon as the necessary agreements are in place with Union Pacific. The second request is to remove the Utah and Salt Lake Canal work from this project so that Kearns and West Valley can advertise an early package to have the canal work done this fall, or to begin this fall. And third, West Valley and Kearns would like to add an additional $7.5 million plus dollars of local government funds to the project to address the increases in materials and the labor cost and the right-of-way price escalation. That brings us to the next spreadsheet that's attached to the resolution. And for discussion purposes, I'd like to address this particular project first and then move to the second portion of the spreadsheet. So this project here is actually in Weber County. This is a project up in Huntsville. It's on 7800 East, 100 South, or SR 39 and Main Street. It's to construct a roundabout intersection. So SR 39 or 7800 East is a high traffic area for recreational users, as many of you may be familiar with. This intersection provides connections to the Pineview Reservoir via 100 South in Huntsville, Causey Reservoir and other recreational areas via SR 39 to the east and the north part of Ogden Valley on 7800 East. Due to the amount of recreational traffic, significant congestion occurs at this intersection, especially during holidays and weekends, which can lead to significant safety concerns. So in conjunction with Weber County, UDOT performed an intersection analysis, and they determined that a roundabout would be the best option to improve safety and reduce congestion at this intersection. And that it would be an estimated cost of $3.1+ million. UDOT Region 1 requests that SR 39 intersection project be added to the 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Program and to be funded with highway safety funds at the amount of $3.1+ million. That brings us back to the spreadsheet to initiate the discussion on this lower half, as well as the following sheet. These projects, all 12 of these projects, are projects to be included in the recreational trails program. The Federal Recreational Trails Program was authorized by Congress as part of the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act of 1991. This program has been continued through the current FAST Act transportation authorization. Funds may be used to provide and maintain trails for motorized and non-motorized recreational uses, including trailside and trailhead facilities, and also provisions to facilitate access for people with disabilities. These projects are selected and administered through the Utah State Parks and Recreation Division. For projects with motorized and non-motorized use, funds are generated through the revenue from the federal motor tax fuel or motor fuel tax. And these funds are apportioned to each state. Utah receives about $1.6 million annually. Excitedly, these funds may be combined with other resources. And as noted in the table on the Layton City project on the east and west trail connections for the Case Creek Trail, which will be combined with TAP funds that were programmed by the Wasatch Front Regional Council. For the 2022 program year, Utah has 30 projects that total $2.2+ million in federal funds and $9.6+ million of sponsored matching funds for a total of $11.8+ million in new project value. 12 of those projects totaling $4.6+ million are included in the WFRC area. That includes the projects to be included in this board modification.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. That's a great presentation. I love how you do your slideshows with all the fancy changes of screens and things. You're great at that. Members, are there any, we have two actions today on this agenda, but I'd entertain any comments for Ben in the meantime. Anyone have any comments?
Commissioner Ben? Harvey, can I make a brief comment?
Mr. Cromar, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to just mention the recreational trails program and bring up a discussion point, if I may.
Please.
You look at those programs and they touch on every corner of our region. You know, they snowmobiling, off-road vehicles, climbing, skiing, mountain biking, and they have great matching rates. The amount of money we spend on that, it's done by federal formula. And Utah's different than other states. And so the amount that we spend on that program relative to other states seems low. And I wonder if it might be worthwhile to consider, even though we don't administer that program through WASDF and Regional Council, if we should consider maybe using a little more of our TAP money or a little more of some of the programs we do operate to support that program more than we have in the past. You know, for a very small, you know, delaying one SDP project by a year, and we have more worthy projects than money, don't get me wrong, but swapping out one project from SDP, we could, you know, double or triple the number of RTP projects. And I think it's something worth considering and thinking about. And I wanted to raise that point for the committee to see if there's other thoughts on that.
Thank you, Kevin. Now, you said it seems low, but Ben, can you respond to that? That number seems low, but in actuality, where is it really in compared to others?
Ben Hewitt might be able to help me more on how it compares to other states. So,
hey, Ben.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I'll just interject, if I may, and then you or Ben Hewitt can correct me, but this is Wayne Bennion with the WFRC staff. My understanding is that is a set aside amount from the overall surface transportation block grant program that the rec trails. And actually, I guess it's a set aside within the overall transportation alternatives program, which in turn is a set aside from the
STP program.
STP total program. But am I mistaken on that, Ben Hewitt?
Mr. Hewitt?
Sorry, trying to unmute.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm frantically looking up the program details here. I don't have them off the top of my head, so I don't know for sure. I was trying to see, I thought that there was a funding level by state information that I could get to, but I'm not able to get it. So I may have to follow up afterward, but I think it's a worthy question and discussion that we could look into and provide some information if possible.
Mr. Cromar, your comments are well taken and we appreciate them. I think at this point though, I think it's something to consider for another season, and may not this one, but I respect where you're talking, especially up here in Weber County. We've seen almost 1,000%, nearly 1,000% increase to this. And so we're sensitive to that. But I think at this point, something we can consider and for the future.
Yeah, Commissioner Harvey, I'm not suggesting any discussion to impact today's board items. I that was exactly what I was hoping for, is to flag it. I think it might be something worth considering for future years. But if we don't flag it in advance, you know, we'll bump up against the same problem a year from now and 2 years from now.
It's worthy. And I know we're having discussion in our own WCOG up here in Weber County about those very things. Thank you for that. Members, are there any other comments regarding this?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll just build on here to what Kevin started. The federal funds that are coming, if this infrastructure bill passes, first, they are going to nearly double the amount of funds that are available in our TAP program, Transportation Alternatives Program. So there'll be more money. Relatively speaking, it's still a small amount, but there'll be more money for trail programs. The state legislature last year, for the first time, appropriated money for active transportation and more for outdoor recreation. And then Marsha White, who is our WFRC Economic Development District lead, just reminded me that there's funds through ARPA. That's one of the federal bills that go through the federal EDA, Economic Development Administration, that are just starting to come down the pike that may also be eligible for trail projects. So I think Kevin's point, Commissioner Harvey, as you said, Kevin's point is well taken, and there may be a lot of opportunities going forward to invest more in our state's active transportation and trails, which is really is to some extent now and should be, I think, one of Utah's calling cards nationally, having more of that, you know, trails for transportation and trails for recreation as we go forward.
Thank you. In fact, I'd like to take it one step further and like Andrew, you, if you'd have staff maybe place this on a future agenda for discussion so that we can have a more robust discussion on this and ideas and ways that we can, things like Ms. White just brought up and others, ways that we can put more money towards that. That'd be great.
Sounds good. Will do.
Thank you. Members, are there any other comments pertaining to either one of these items, item 4A or 4B?
We haven't done 4B yet.
Yeah, I'd like to, so the first one, I'm going to take these in two separate motions as the council has advised. The first one, I'm looking for a motion for the board modification for the 2021 through and including 2021 TIP as presented by Mr. Wolfridge today.
This is Mike Daly. I make that motion.
Have a motion to accept that motion. Is there a second?
Mayor Hale, second.
Thank you, Mayor Hale. We have a motion and a second. If there's no more discussion, I'll place that motion for vote. All of you who can sustain that, will you please do a reaction or a Fonzie? Perfect.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Thank you very much. That passes what I see unanimously. Our next one is an action to recommend approval of the 2021 through and including 2027 Transportation Improvement Program and Air Quality Conformity Finding. Please, if you'll make the motion that you make, if you'll please make sure that the Air Quality Conformity Finding is included.
Mr. Chair, can we go ahead and have, so Ben presented on 4A and he has the presentation to do still on 4B, if it's okay for him to go ahead and do that.
Thank you, sir, very much. I apologize for that. Getting too much grape nuts this morning. Ben, go ahead, please.
Wonderful, thank you. Because this is our next agenda item is one hot item. So it is 4B, and as we talked here or mentioned, it's an action item to recommend the approval of the 2022-2027 Transportation Improvement Program and the corresponding air quality conformity finding. And so our Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP for the 2022-2027, brings with it a lot of excitement and movement that'll make a change in all of our communities this year. So the Transportation Improvement Program is a six-year program of highway transit and active transportation projects. 4 years are funded, 2 years we refer to as concept development. It's for both urban areas, for the Salt Lake West Valley and the Ogden-Layton urbanized areas, which go from Brigham City down to the Utah County line. It is a compilation of projects from the various federal and state and local funding programs for all of the cities and the counties in the region, as well as for the Department of Transportation and the Utah Transit Authority. The projects included in the program will implement the long-range highway transit and active highway transit and active transportation plans for the region. It'll help us meet the short-range needs of the area, and it'll provide for the maintenance of the existing transportation system. The TIP includes lists of projects, including new construction type projects. Here's just a few throughout our area. Rehab and maintenance type projects. Various transit projects along the Wasatch Front. And our pedestrian and bicycle projects or active transportation improvements. Projects in a transportation improvement program will represent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, thousands of jobs, economic growth and development in all of our communities. It improves the mobility and access to opportunities, preservation of life, and promotes the quality of life that we all enjoy. By law, the transportation improvement program must be financially constrained, conform to the air quality analysis, reviewed by the public, and only then be approved by the regional council. The material was prepared, including the tables which listed the projects programmed by the regional council, the tables which list all of the projects funded with federal and state funds, and the tables which list all of the projects funded for transit type improvements, along with the air quality conformity analysis for the 2022-2027 Transportation Improvement Program. We presented this information to Transcom back on the 17th of June, requesting that we go out for a public review and comment, which began on the 26th of June and ran through the 31st of July. During this time, we held two public open houses, one at the Intermodal Center in downtown Salt Lake and one at the Intermodal Center in Ogden. We presented the material to the TAC committee on the 28th of July in preparation to present to you today for your recommendation to the regional council. So we're meeting today. Regional council will meet on the 26th. Once the council approves the TIP and its conformity finding, we will submit to UDOT on the 31st for their inclusion into the statewide transportation improvement program to be submitted to federal highways for their review during the month of September, and then come the early part of October, we have the new approved 2022-2027 transportation improvement program ready to go. So, with the extensive outreach, included distribution to stakeholders about opportunities to provide public comment, an interactive map on WFRC's website and news releases, two open houses, coordination with UDOT and UTA, and social media posts. In your meeting materials, a summary of the public comments with respective responses is included, along with a complete list of the comments received. There were 59 comments received, 35 from the interactive map on specific projects, 6 from the interactive map as general comments, 14 specific comments from the open houses, and 4 from emails. So what happens to the public comments? When we receive the comment, we document it. We present, discuss it at the large project management meetings, and then, where appropriate, the improvements are implemented into the project. Now, has this been done in the past, you might ask? Actually, we've had just a couple to maybe bring to your attention. So in Salt Lake County, on the design build project on I-80 that's going on right now, because of public comment and public input, bike lanes were added on the 1300 East structure as well as the 1700 East structure. The bridges were made wider and dedicated bike lanes were included on those structures. Another project would include, let's go to this one on 600 North, which is actually going on right now too. And there needed to be an amendment to this project as it started because of public comment, public input. On this structure rehab, they will be adding bike lanes on the structure. And then maybe one more, there's a transportation solution project on I-15 northbound on-ramp at 5300 South. There was some adjustments made. The on-ramp created a project was created by the public input, which was to remove the yield condition and create an accelerated lane on that on-ramp to provide safety and protection for those that were entering onto the freeway at that location. So from this point forward, we would ask that Transcom make a recommendation to the Regional Council that they approve the 2022-2027 Transportation Improvement Program and the associated air quality conformity finding for the 2022-2027 TIP.
Terrific, Ben. Thank you. What a great slideshow that was. Holy cow, best motion picture I've seen all year. That's fantastic. Comments for Ben on this? Again, seeing none.
Mr. Commissioner, I can't resist, if I may. I just want to highlight the magnitude of this action that we're recommending to you. Literally billions of dollars, Ben. The total amount that you said represented in this is how much?
Well, the full TIP, if we include all the projects out through 2029, which includes 3 years of concept development, we're upwards between $5 to $9 billion.
So just as a matter of magnitude of what's being the action you're taking today, and again, it represents a significant mix of state and local road projects, transit projects, and active transportation. And I just want to thank and acknowledge the work of so many people that goes into developing this program. Of course, Ben and Wayne here at WFRC, but there's so much collaboration that happens with our partners at UDOT and at UTA, FHWA, I mentioned that earlier. And then of course, all of you, the cities and counties, because all of this work is done in collaboration with you and with your planners and public works team. And so this really does reflect a tremendous amount of work and collaboration as Utah deals with being the fastest growing state in the nation. So I just wanted to express that and our thanks for the great collaborative work that goes into all of this. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
That's insightful. Thank you. That has to spawn some comments from any of the members. Tom Tripp. Any comments from you, Tom?
I'm trying to think of something clever to say. And I'm just happy to see we have some good projects listed.
It's wonderful. I would like to, Ben, I will say, though, if you could put that in the comment section, that slideshow that you had, some of those slides I'd like to take a look at. Those pictures were great. Or show us where on the website we can go to get that picture show. That was really good. Some of those projects are super.
Thank you.
Yes, the presentations are on our website within 3 days of the meeting. Great. So you'll be able to find it there.
Thank you.
You can also email it out in a follow-up email.
I thought it was great.
Let's send it to Commissioner Harvey because I think he wants to show it to his family.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm really proud of what you guys are doing. I think it's wonderful. So great. Any other comments? Very good. Then is there a motion to approve the 2022 through 2027 Transportation Improvement Program, including the air quality conformity finding?
Commissioner Harvey, I move we approve the Transportation Improvement Program and the conformity analysis.
From you, especially Mr. Cromar, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Clint Smith, I will second.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Appreciate that. We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain I'll place the motion for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Any opposed? Very good. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ben. We'll now move on to a presentation that will be held by Marcia, Megan, Christy, and Ben, which will be the WFRC funding opportunities for local governments. Wayne Binion will lead this discussion, and he'll share information about upcoming opportunities to apply for funding through WFRC administered programs. Wayne, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You can see my screen all right?
That's a beautiful picture. Another great picture.
Hey, close to home, eh?
Very.
Yes, periodically we get to change up the photos. This one has served us well for a while. So let's see. So yes, as Commissioner Harvey said, I'll give a very brief introduction and then turn the time to the program leads for the various funding programs. Ben Withrich for the first three on this list, Megan Townsend for the Transportation and Land Use Connection, Marsha White for Wasatch Front Economic Development District, and Christy Dahlberg for the CDBG program. As you may recall, all of these programs are competitive. And in addition to the information that's shared today, the last day or two of August, we'll send out some additional information when a request for letters of intent for four of these programs is sent out. And if you're not sure about which program to that your project would belong in, just submit the letter of intent anyway, and we'll make sure it gets into an appropriate program. So with that, we'll turn it over to Ben.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Thank you, Wayne. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for staying awake for this part. So the Wasatch Front Council has a responsibility to coordinate the programming of these three federal funds in the urbanized area, the Surface Transportation Program or the STP funds, the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program or the CMAQ funds, and the Transportation Alternatives Program or the TAP funds. In the STP program or the Surface Transportation Program, funds are apportioned to WFRC every year at the amounts of about $20 million for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and about $10 million for the Ogden-Layton urban area. These funds can be used to construct new roads or widen existing facilities, including components of active transportation improvements, as long as the facility is federal aid eligible and is in the first phase of the regional transportation plan. We can also reconstruct existing facilities, replace or reconstruct bridges, improve intersections, or implement projects that reduce traffic demand, like transit improvements, rideshare, et cetera. A good example of an STP project is the project that took place on 5600 West, between 6200 South and 70th South. This facility was a two-lane facility with some shoulder, curb gutter and sidewalk, and no lighting, and very poor pavement. Now, as a five-lane facility with lighting, bike lanes, curb gutter and sidewalk on both sides, with a center turn lane and new pavement. This roadway with proper maintenance will last at least 20 years or more and will provide a safe facility for all users. The next program is the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, or the CMAQ funds. These must be used on projects that will improve air quality. These funds are apportioned to WFRC each year to about $5.6 million for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and $3 million for the Ogden-Layton urban area. These funds can be used to implement diesel engine retrofits, idle reduction, provide alternative fuels and or vehicles, construct, purchase, expand public transportation facilities and equipment, or implement projects that will reduce traffic demand like rideshare, van pools, car sharing programs, et cetera. As a picture speaks a thousand words, on the next slide, here are a few eligible CMAQ projects that have been constructed with our CMAQ funds in the past. We have transit, bus, van, BRT, and rail expansions. We have improvements and constructions or expansions to the Intelligent Transportation System or the ITS network. We have improvements to intersections, the turning movements or signal coordination between intersections. We have construction of bicycle and pedestrian facilities for commuter use. And in the third program would be the Transportation Alternatives Program, or the TAP funds. These funds are portioned to WFRC each year with about, currently with about $900,000 for the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and $500,000 for the Ogden-Layton urban area. I say currently, because as Andrew mentioned a minute ago, there is a potential that we will see some significant increase in this program. So the TAP program eligible items would include planning, design, and construction of pedestrian and bicycle projects and other non-motorized forms of transportation. These could improve sidewalks, bicycle infrastructure, traffic calming techniques, lighting, and safety-related infrastructure for non-drivers, and of course, our safe routes to school projects. An excellent example of a TAP project is the Denver Rio Grande Western Rail Trail, which extends north from West Bountiful. It passes through Farmington Bay Waterfowl Management Area, where it joins the Legacy Parkway Trail. Continuing north, the trail travels through Farmington and Kaysville, Layton, Clearfield, and Clinton, all the way to Hinckley Drive on the border of Roy and West Haven. Both trails are also part of the Golden Spoke Network, which offers more than 100 miles of connected paved trails stretching between Ogden and Provo. So on these three programs, there were just examples of projects. If you think or feel that you've got a potential project, please let us know. Megan, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Ben. Okay, so these next three, those first three programs are administered by our short-range planning team, by Ben and his team. These last three are with our community and economic development group. So kind of a shift in the focus of the programs. First one, the transportation and land use connection program. This is our planning technical assistance program. It's a partnership with UDOT, UTA, Salt Lake County, and Wasatch Front Regional Council. That partnership is really critical to the success of the program. TLC, as we call it, programs $1.9 million annually. So a drop in the bucket compared to the programs Ben just discussed. But for planning, that goes a really long way. The purpose of TLC is to support our local communities in their planning while also implementing the Wasatch Trace Vision, our Wasatch Trace Regional Vision. The TLC program goals include maximize the value of investment in public infrastructure, enhance access to opportunities, increase travel options to optimize mobility, and create communities with opportunities to live, work, and play. So all of the planning work that you, all of the planning needs in your community that fit these goals in some ways, that's all eligible under the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. TLC projects meet you wherever you are, and we can move to whatever point in the planning process that you need to be at. So we've funded lots of visions, community engagement, downtown master plans, maybe station area plans, and of course, a lot of active transportation plans, bicycle and pedestrian planning policies, so zoning ordinances, design standards, maybe it's a street connectivity standard ordinance, things like that. All policies and ordinances are eligible under the TLC program, as well as products. So maybe you're figuring out how to work with a major landowner or developer in your center, or looking at the new HTRZ opportunity if you have a front runner station in your community and kind of thinking through how might that apply to my community, how might it work? We could pair you up with a finance consultant, for example, and have provide support in that way. And then studies and analyses along the way. So maybe it's parking studies or market analyses within your Wasatch Trace Center, or some maybe tricky neighborhood within your city. All of these things are eligible under TLC. It can be really helpful to talk through some of your planning needs and see if there is a project that might fit. So please call us at any time. Our Community and Economic Development Group is happy to talk with you about these things. Marsha will talk about economic development.
Hi, good afternoon. So some of you are aware that the Wasatch Front Regional Council has under its umbrella of them is the Wasatch Front Economic Development District. This district is actually federally recognized with the EDA, or the Economic Development administration. And as this slide points out, the mission is to support existing economic development efforts, promoting long-term economic competitiveness and attracting federal money to implement local plans. We have a 12-member board that has been appointed by the various COGs in our region. We also have a 25-member strategy committee that guides our regional economic development plan. And so in 2019, we implemented and adopted the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or the SEDS. These four goals are what we are looking at as we go through our funding opportunities. So we're unique in that we work with all of the five other region members and trying to use our goals and their goals and trying to move forward economic development projects. One of the things that we have been doing recently, many of you probably saw that we had EDA CARES money, which we were able to get to 7 different projects throughout our region. But we also have a new opportunity with the EDA funding through ARPA. There was a $3 billion ARPA funding dropped in the end of July. And so what we are now looking at is trying to come up with various different programs and projects that would fit into those different, they call them challenges or grants. And so like, I think, was it Kevin Cromar said that maybe we could use them for trails. It would be an opportunity for us to look at trails through the travel, tourism, and outdoor recreation grant program. And so there are all sorts of types of grants. And so if I'm not familiar with all of them, but I can get you to the right people. So if you have an idea and want to look at trying to figure out how to get some extra funding, I'd be more than happy to talk to you, get you set up with an EDA a specialist, and we can talk through and see what where your project would definitely fall within these. So that's all I have. And then Christy.
All right, thanks, Marcia. So as Wayne mentioned, I administer the Community Development Block Grant Small Cities Program for the Wasatch Front. The program is administered for the smaller, less populated cities and counties in our region, and includes Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties, excluding Ogden City. Bragg also runs a program for those communities up in Box Elder County. The objective of CDBG is to assist in developing viable communities by providing decent housing, a suitable living environment, and expanding economic opportunities, principally for persons of low and moderate income. So this list includes types of activities that can be funded using CDBG dollars. We've funded projects from fire equipment and storage bays to infrastructure projects such as water, sewer, street projects, sidewalk, curb and gutter projects, and public service providers such as domestic violence shelters, food banks, housing authorities, and homeless shelters. So as you can see, there's a wide variety of eligible projects that can be funded with CDBG, the main stipulation being that the project principally benefits low to moderate income persons or households. So if you have any questions about how your community can participate in CDBG, feel free to reach out to me at any time. So this is kind of the timeline that our funding programs are on right now. We're bringing the programs to your attention so that you're aware and they're in the forefront of your mind, as at the end of this month, we will be sending out a notice or a request for letters of intent if you intend to apply for funding through these programs. So again, that request will be sent out at the end of this month, and letters of intent are due at the end of September, on September 30th. So in the next month or so, have your eye towards a letter of intent. And if you don't know what program your project falls under, that's okay. You can reach out to any of us, any of the funding program managers, or anyone at WFRC, and we'll be sure to get you in contact with the right person and get your project within the right funding program. And here is all of our contact information. again, reach out with any questions, happy to help however we can. And that's all I've got. So I'll turn it back. Thank you.
Christy and everybody, I just want to say thanks to the whole team. As you can tell, we have all of these programs, and the whole point here is that we really want to help you in your communities and help you accomplish your objectives. And I'll just emphasize something that's been said already, and that is we try to make this easy for you, as easy as possible within all of the federal requirements that exist for these programs. So if you're interested in something, you send in a simple letter of intent when that notice goes out, and we'll work through it with you. And happy to help you in any way that we can. Thanks.
Terrific. Wayne, you and your team have done a nice job there. Any other comments from you, sir?
Nope. Thank you. Like Christy mentioned, watch for that request for letters of intent in about 10, 11 days, and would be happy to, and as Andrew said, happy to help you with any questions you have on that process.
Very good, thank you. Members, are there any comments or questions for Wayne or any of the staff? Andrew? Sorry, okay, we'll move on to item 6 on our agenda, which is the self-certification of transportation planning process. This will be given by Wayne as well, Wayne Banyan. And he'll discuss this item. Each year, WFRC is in coordination with UDOT and UTA is required to certify the regional transportation planning process that complies with federal requirements. The Transcom, we need to take an action here to recommend to the regional council to approve this certification. Go ahead.
Terrific. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so here are the first two pages of that certification that has been prepared that discuss the organization of the regional council of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and then this self-certification document that's in your meeting materials goes through some of the technical elements of the process, ranging from travel demand modeling and land use modeling, data collection, geographic information systems for the mapping, air quality, public involvement, environmental justice, and documenting that we're addressing all modes, highway, transit, active transportation. And then we go into the products, the primary products that the regional council produces, including the regional transportation plan, the transportation improvement program, the congestion management process, and the unified planning work program that each year describes the work that's going to be accomplished by the regional council during that upcoming year. And then a few other compliance with some other important requirements, such as Title VI. And so with that, I'll just note that in addition to self-certifying, well, two notes, I guess. One, this year, we've had the pleasure of meeting with our federal partners and as well as our state and local partners. Every 4 years, the U.S. Department of Transportation conducts a on-site or virtual, this time around, review of the regional transportation planning process that's conducted jointly by WFRC, UDOT, and UTA, and State Division of Air Quality. And so that you'll hear a little more about that on-site review, both at the regional council meeting next week and the regional council meeting in October. And second point I want to make is that, you know, we've got these federal requirements, which are great. The Regional Council for a long time has done a marvelous job of going, and thanks in large part to the elected officials, but has gone above and beyond just the federal planning requirements to assist all of the residents, all of the communities in obtaining additional mobility options and getting to where they need to go in their communities and across the region. So that's, and I'll welcome any questions, but that's the material that I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Binion. Questions for Mr. Binion? That's a very comprehensive document.
I have a question on how often this sort of recertification has to take place.
Thank you, Mayor Gehling. So the self-certification that's done by the Regional Council, and as you're aware today, Transcom has the opportunity to review it and recommend to the Regional Council, but this self-certification by the Regional Council takes place each year, and we submit that first to UDOT at the same time the Transportation Improvement Program is submitted. So it's done once a year in conjunction with the submittal of the Transportation Improvement Program to UDOT, who then submits it to the Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administrations. The other review is a quadrennial review, the on-site review, and that happens every 4 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Answer your question, Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing or hearing none on the screen, then I'll entertain a motion for this certification of the transportation planning process.
So moved, Cyril.
Thank you, Mayor Cyril. Mr. Camp, was that you getting ready to make a second?
I'll second that, yeah.
Great, I have a motion and a second. I'll place that motion for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Super, any opposed? Very good. We'll take that as a unanimous vote as well. Thank you very much. You know, in September and October, we will not be holding this meeting, but our next meeting will be held on November the 18th of 2021, and it'll be at or around 2 p.m. We'll get a notice from Andrea again. You've done a great job as always. Are there any other business that needs to come before this body at this time?
Mr. Chair, I would just remind everybody, Miranda mentioned this earlier, but our full Wasatch Front Regional Council meeting is next Thursday at 2 p.m. Everybody is welcome, even if you're not technically a member of the council. We'll be doing that by Zoom as well. And Senator Romney will be joining us to talk about the bipartisan infrastructure legislation.
Very good.
Andrew, can you send out an invite to that meeting for people that are not on that board to others?
You bet. Andrea, Councilmember Granato, Andrea sends those notices out and we'll make sure that you all get it.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Jim, can I say something?
Heck yes. Are you kidding? You're like a favorite.
Hey, I was thinking this morning and I just thought I'd pass on, WFRC does a wonderful job. I'm amazed at the amount of things they're involved in and what they do. So many projects tying everything together for all the different associate organizations. I think they just do a superb job. I think they're the glue that holds all this together and helps us in the cities and towns and other organizations to be able to work with them and others and make everything happen. But I know I just for me and, you know, probably from Riverdale City and the others, Well, you do a great job, Wasatch Front. We sincerely appreciate what you do. So thank you very much.
I'm sure most of us can sustain that thought. Thank you very much. That's great thoughts, Mayor Cyril. Appreciate that. You know, they have so many things going on. And for those of you who bought stock in Boise Cascade last year, that's your stock has done very well, as you can see by the number of manila folders on the back of Andrew's desk. How he knows where all those things are and what's one of those. It's just absolutely amazing. If there's no other comments before the body today, then I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second, Cyril.
Thank you very much. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
See you, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Christy, could you stay on for just a quick second?
Thanks, everybody.